Blog Talk Radio.
I stopped keeping track. I mean,
That's how bad it is. I've just flat stopped keeping track. I mean, Louisville's the only team I have picked left. I mean, Florida got beat. I had Florida, Miami got beat, Kansas. Be quite honest, I quit keeping track. So I can't even tell you off the top of my head who I had in the championship game. That's how bad it is. Outside of Louisville, I honestly cannot tell you who I had picked in the championship. The Excess Energy Drink phone lines are open 347-326-9073. 347, excuse me, 326-9073. And talk about Kevin Ware for Louisville leads to my trivia question tonight. What has been the most devastating injury in any sporting event that you have seen or been a part of? Once again, what has been the most horrific injury you have ever seen or been a part of? For many years, the most horrific injury I've seen was Lawrence Taylor Joe Theismann. Until last year, that was it. Then I saw the Marcus Lattimore for South Carolina against Tennessee ball game, and that came up there pretty close. But the Kevin Ware injury last night far surpassed it. I mean, not only did he have the actual leg break to deal with, but the fact that the bone in his leg is sticking out about 6 inches out of his leg, penetrated the skin, poking out. And so, not only, they did the surgery on his leg last night, 2-hour surgery, inserted a rod, and the sports information director for Louisville has already posted pictures on Facebook today, Kevin Ware on his crutches out of bed. 10, 15, that just goes to show you the advancements in sports medicine. That same kind of injury, 5, 10, 15 years ago, he's out 6 months to a year. 20, 25, 30 years ago, he's done. Period. So, I mean, just a horrific injury. But he's already, I mean, this guy's mental attitude, I mean, he's sitting there crying. Or he's not crying. His teammates are crying due to the severity. Rick Pitino has tears in his eyes. You see the concern in the eyes of the Duke players. Mike Krzyzewski, class guy, called him this morning to check on him. So, I mean, called the hospital. Rick Pitino took a championship ball cap. He took the trophy, the regional trophy, to the hospital after the game. He looks at Marcus Ware, or he Marcus Ware. He looks like Kevin Ware and says, "Do you want me to bring it back?" Kevin Ware says, "No, sir, coach. That trophy's staying here." They've already said that Kevin Ware will be in Miami. He's going home tomorrow. And they have already said that Kevin Ware will be in Miami with his team. So, I mean, there you go, boys and girls. So, gotta give that young man big props. There's no doubt about it. Big props. Once again, phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. If you want to call in, if there's something you want to talk about, we got the chat room up and running. So feel free to come into the chat room. You can email me at thegregsquirrelshow@yahoo.com. Once again, the email is thegregsquirrelshow@yahoo.com. So you can email us there, or you can contact me on my personal Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel, and I will be more than happy to answer any comments. We'll talk about any comments anybody may have. The one I'm kind of frustrated about especially about Facebook, and we're going to, as always, we'll be going over the starting headlines. There is. I wish I knew what to say. But there is a guy in England who is claiming to be me. And I mean, how would you guys feel about this? I mean, I know for a fact that I am the only Gregory Squirrel on the face of the planet. Because I mean, it's just plain and simple. I mean, I want to see this guy's birth certificate. I mean, it's just plain and simple. I've tried emailing this guy, and the guy won't even have the courtesy to email me back. So, I mean, I have filed complaints with Facebook, and so far, nothing. So I'm just, I filed 3 or 4 complaints with them since I discovered this guy. And so just have to see if Yahoo follows up on it. I mean, so anyway. Let's just get with it. Let's get over here. Let me push some buttons here. I kind of feel like I'm kind of coming off such a great weekend. I just kind of feel like, you know, kind of getting back into swerve thing. Once again, we're going to be going over the results from Aries Fighting Championship. If there's anybody associated with Aries Fighting Championship, don't forget this coming weekend, going to be in Muskogee, Oklahoma with Strike King Boxing and Muay Thai. So we're going to be going over that. I'm excited about that event. So, I mean, just a lot of great stuff going on. So let's get listen. Let's hop over here. Baseball started today. So we're going to talk about that. But as always, we're going to talk. We're just going to go down the headlines, talk about things that's going on. I guess the first one I want to talk about is, I kind of mentioned it the other day, Tubby Smith was fired at University of Minnesota head basketball coach. And I mentioned the other day that I didn't think it would be long before Tubby Smith found him a new job. And I was correct. As of today, it has been announced, Associated Press is reporting that Tubby Smith has agreed to become the new head basketball coach at Texas Tech. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there is. I'm looking over everything. You know, Tubby Smith, great coach. He's one of the coaches out there I've had great respect for. He was AP Coach of the Year in 2008. He's had a reputation for rebuilding programs, and so he's going to get a chance to do it again with the folks down there at Texas Tech. So Tubby Smith has agreed to terms, even though no official deal hasn't been announced. So when we do hear about the official deal, we'll be more than happy to pass it on to you right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Once again, the phone lines are open, 347-326-9073, 347-326-9073. If you want to call in tonight on the Cherokee Entertainment Hotline, here we go. Let's just run down some of the headlines going on. Oakland has acquired quarterback Matt Flynn from Seattle. That rumor had been going around the last couple of days, and today it happened. In a surprising move, and a move I thought surprising, Cleveland Browns has traded quarterback Colt McCoy to San Francisco for two picks in the draft. And the reason I find this move surprising is the fact that Frisco had already been working on the quarterback position when they signed a veteran. Who was it Frisco signed? I don't have the list here in front of me. He's going to be a backup in Frisco. Cleveland signed Jason Campbell last week, and so they McCoy became expendable, so he got traded to Frisco for two draft picks. Just a shocking move. Really surprising is CEO Joe Banner said that the Browns would not release McCoy and would look for a trade partner. McCoy is going to be battling with Scott Tolzien, the backup Colin Kaepernick. Got to be anxious to see what happens back there. Anyway, that's that. Cincinnati Bengals have re-signed Terrence Newman to a new two-year contract. Newman is going into his 11th season, his second with Cincinnati after being with Dallas for his first 9 seasons. Once again, Cincinnati re-signs Terrence Newman. They also re-signed defensive end Robert Mathers, Michael Johnson, and Wallace Gilberry. Earlier in the offseason, they re-signed Pac-Man Jones and Ray Mailuga to new deals. Arizona making some noise, or Cincinnati making some noises. Arizona, they have officially released John Skelton. He started 17 games over the last 3 seasons. Arizona, once again, in the Carson Palmer lottery. They are trying to work out a trade to bring Carson Palmer over from Oakland. That could possibly work out there in Cardinal land. New Orleans. Has agreed to a deal with free agent defensive end Kenyon Coleman and quarterback Luke McDown. Both 1-year contracts for each of those fellas. So kind of a homecoming for McCown because he played at Louisiana Tech. Be anxious to see how that works out. Baltimore Ravens. Christian Thompson has been suspended without pay for the first 4 games of the upcoming season for violating the league's substance abuse policy. No details, but apparently he got caught with something in his system. Jacksonville Jaguars have released veteran defensive tackle C.J. Mosley. Mosley is 8 years in the league, spending time between Minnesota Jets, Cleveland, and last year Jacksonville. Jacksonville, they're kind of under this rebuilding program, I think I'd be kind of watching it around there. Sound like they're willing to get rid of anybody anytime. Kind of some more sad news today. Former Houston Cougar, Houston Oiler, NFL teams he coached for, but legendary Houston Cougar football coach Jack Pardee passed away. He had gallbladder cancer that had spread to other parts of the body, and Pardee passed away this morning. So the thoughts and prayers go out to Coach Pardee's family. Coach Pardee, great run at the University of Houston. Played high school ball at Cristobal High School before moving on to Texas A&M. He became the Aggies head coach in 1954, and he was actually a part of legendary Bear Bryant's Junction Gang. Once again, great coach. I really don't know. I really can't think of anything, There's really not nothing bad to say about Coach Pardee. He was just a great coach, Definitely going to be missed. Him and his wife, Phyllis, were married for over 50 years, 5 children, 12 great-grandchildren, or 12 grandchildren. So definitely a man that's going to be missed. So heading on down to other headlines. Let's see. Once again, in your NFL transactions, you heard me talk about Terrence Newman got the new 2-year deal with Cincinnati. FNU Mima Philadelphia signed a 3-year contract. Brett Grimes for Miami, unrestricted free agent, signed a contract, 1-year deal with Miami. And that is your headlines for today. So don't forget, next weekend is WrestleMania. So everybody's kind of getting wound up for that. Baseball started today, regular season. So kind of looking down. Anything that. Today's transactions, John Main for Miami, starting pitcher, was purchased from the minors. Chad Qualls, relief pitcher, was brought up from the minors. Ryan Rayburn, Cleveland, was brought up from the minors. Jose Carlos Oviedo, Tampa Bay, was brought up from the minors. So that's your transactions for today. If you're ready, let's do our first baseball regular season scoreboard. Boston beat the Yanks 8-2 in their season opener. Washington beat Miami 2-0. The Mets beat the Pods 11-2. Shacklebees 3, Pittsburgh 1. Milwaukee 5-4. Over Colorado, Detroit 4, Minnesota 2, White Sox 1, KC 0, Dodgers 4, Frisco 0, Angels 3, Cincinnati 1, and in the Cincinnati game, Cincinnati outfielder Ryan Ludwig dislocated his right shoulder while sliding into the base during the third inning. So, looks like he's possibly going to be out for a while. We'll keep you up to date on that situation. Of course, we got 2 late games out on the left coast. We got Seattle and Oakland and St. Louis and Arizona. Yeah, you did hear some scores right there, too. I was kind of shocked when I saw it myself, especially the Anaheim-Cincinnati score. I'm kind of wondering what's up with that. And then you also had that, what was the other one? I guess that's the one that surprised me the most. 3-1. No, yesterday Houston and Texas is another score that surprised me. So we're looking it up. I didn't know they did any more realignment. I had heard about Texas moving, but I hadn't heard about any other team, so I'm kind of looking at things real fast to see if there's, seeing if I missed anything. Let's see here. Let's run down the divisions in the American League. In the East, you got Boston, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Toronto, New York, and the Central. You got Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota. In the West, you got Houston, Angels, Oakland, Seattle, and Texas. And then So that's the Houston Texans game. And then in the National League, Atlanta, Mets, Washington, Miami, Philly, Central, Chi, Cubs, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. And then out in the West, you have the Dodgers, Zona, Colorado, Diego, and Frisco. So kind of makes me wonder why they had Cincinnati and the Angels. I mean, what's up with that game? Playing just kind of threw me off. I'm looking at the scoreboard, and here's two teams from opposing leagues playing ball with each other. It's like, what's going on? Did I miss something? So anyway, let's go over to the NBA news. Regular season starting to wind down. Some teams starting to make their moves. Looking at the transactions, Malcolm Thomas for Chicago signed to a 10-day contract. Malik Wins, Clips, signed for the remainder of the season. Terrell Harris, New Orleans, signed for the remainder of the season. And Jarrell McNeil for Utah signed a 10-day contract. On the on the scoreboard for today, looks like this. Detroit 108, Toronto 98, Atlanta 102, Cleveland 94, Houston 111, Orlando 103, Milwaukee 131, Charlotte 102, Minnesota 110, Boston 100, Memphis 92, San Antonio 90, and 407 in the third quarter, Utah 76, Portland 65. And then out on the left coast, you got the Clips and the Pacers. So that's pretty much all the news out of basketball today. Trash talkings begin, and today. With there is one news, a little bit of news going on, and we'll run over this real quick. Michigan backup quarterback Russell Bellamy tore his ACL, and so he's possibly going to be out for how long they have it said, and. Conference realignment news, Conference USA is adding Western Kentucky, but on the other talk, Tulsa is leaving Conference USA. Tulsa is the defending Conference USA champion for this past football season. Tulsa is going to be moving to whatever new league is going to come out of the Big East. The Big East is no longer going to exist. Big East is going to have 12 members. Navy is going to lose their independent status. They're going to join the league for football only. Also joining this new league will be Tulsa, Tulane, East Carolina, Central Florida, SMU, Houston, and Memphis. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any others. Doesn't look like there's going to be any others. So that's kind of a shocking move, especially when you're the defending league champion. I guess they decided it's time to step up, find some more competition. So anyway, that is that. I saw the funniest post on Facebook, and it comes from Brent Oliva, Arkansas's new head coach. And Brent Oliva made the post. He said, because today was the one-year anniversary of Bobby Petrino's infamous motorcycle accident with his little intern on the back. Yes, that was 1 year ago today that subsequently led to his retirement, or led to him being fired at the University of Arkansas. And so Brent Bielema, the new coach for Arkansas, sent out a text today. It says, "Don't worry, folks, I'm not out riding my motorcycle today." I thought that was funny as hell. Pardon my language, but you got to admit, that was funny. So anyway, I know mine hasn't. Has anybody else's brackets even remotely turned out the way they thought they would? I mean, I got Louisville. Everybody else is gone, as far as mine's concerned. Louisville, Wichita State, out of the West, Michigan, Florida, and I had Florida in the title game with Louisville, and then Syracuse. So, I mean, I just kind of lost interest. Unless Louisville's playing, I just quit paying attention to it. So that's that. NASCAR boys, they were off this weekend. Danica Patrick did spend Easter at the White House reading for kids. Just kind of looking up anything. Since the NASCAR boys were off, there were nobody fighting this week, so that's always a good sign. Vegas still has Tiger listed to win the Masters. That's coming up here. They got the Texas Open this weekend, and then they head to Augusta. D.A. Points was this week's winner on the PGA Tour. $1,116,000 was his take-home from the Shell Houston Open. With that victory, he did qualify for the Masters field. So, and he won it using a putter from his mom. Go figure. So, D.A. Points finished first. Henrik Stenson, Billy Horschel, Dustin Johnson, Ben Crane, Brian Davis, Kevin Chappell, Stuart Sink, Jason Kokrak, and Brendan DeGeorge were your top 10 at the Shell Houston Open. All right, there's been some changes on the UFC front. Wanderlei Silva has announced that he is going to fight Shigeru Masashi Saturday on UFC on Fuel TV, replacing Alexander Gustafsson, who had to pull out. Gustafson suffered a severe cut while sparring over the weekend, and three doctors indicated that it would take several weeks for the cut to heal. And so, I mean, there's still some conflicting reports, but everything I'm reading has said that Wanderlei Silva is going to step in and take this fight on a week's notice. So there you go. Also on the injury front, C.B. Dalloway, who was scheduled to fight Cesar Ferreira, has had to step out. Chris Camozzi will replace Dalloway in the fight against Vieira. So Vieira made his way into the UFC by winning the UFC Brazil middleweight tournament at 147 in June of 2012. So he's starting to make his big UFC run. I mean, Dana White is still holding out hope that Gustafson can still fight his fight, but everything I'm reading and hearing indicates Wanderlei Silva is going to be stepping in. So there you go, boys and girls. That is pretty, being Monday, that's pretty much the headlines. Oh, let's see who's on the phone lines. We got people on the phones. Talk to me.
Yes, this is Matthew Wade from Aries Fighting Championship. How are you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on, brother? Man, we were just getting ready to go over the results from the show Saturday night. You know, like I've been telling people, I mean, for your first event, I thought the fights were great. I'll be dead honest with you, and I've been in this business 12 years now, and to be your first show and everything, as always, you always have your little glitches. But from my viewpoint, as far as the actual fights, once they got inside the cage, I mean, I think I saw some of the hardest shots delivered Saturday night that I've seen in a long time. And I just want to get your opinion on the show. And so, I mean, talk to us about it. Let us know what you thought about the show.
Well, first of all, thank you. I thought it was a pretty good show. There were some very hard shots landed. Rudy McLaughlin came in from Barada MMA out of Searcy. He fought Kenny Gray out of Urban Fitness Kickboxing in Memphis. Kenny, he only had one MMA fight. He had 11 boxing matches and 11 wins by knockout. And Rudy hit him in square on the jaw with a head kick in the first round, and that thing echoed. It echoed throughout the facility, which after that, Kenny didn't really want to stand with him much. Kenny took him down. He grinded out the decision. That was the only decision of the night, actually. Had some pretty good finishes, some slick submissions, good ground and pound. Teammate of mine, Ryan Rose, won his first match by TKO second round with ground and pound. Doing some big things in Jonesboro. You know, that's the first event we've had since 2010 in Jonesboro. We had a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was a good little turnout for the crowd, and they were really into it the whole night. I mean, so I think that speaks volumes for the future, not only Aries Fighting Championship, but MMA as a whole in that part of the state. And I mean, I just can't say enough. I mean, I've been looking at the pictures that have been posted on Facebook throughout the day, and from what I can tell, it just looks like everybody had a great time. And I think that's the important thing, is that we're putting on a good quality show that anybody can enjoy.
Yes, it's really good to put on a good show around the area, and I've had a lot of people give good feedback. I haven't heard a bad thing about the show, and I'd like to keep it that way. We had a couple of things, you know, we could have done better, but like you said, it's the first show. We're going to improve upon that. Right now, we're working on a June the 1st date for our next show. Don't know if we'll be bringing that to Jonesboro at this time. We're thinking about doing it at another smaller venue and then coming back.
Right. No, good going back to a smaller venue, you know, that way, you know, build everything up, and then when the time is right, maybe look at moving back into a bigger venue.
Yes. Just a lot of overhead here. We came pretty much from nothing. Well, we've been working our day jobs, and we put a lot of money into it. We put a lot of money into it to make sure we have the best production and some of the best spots around.
Hey, I mean, I know you talked about the McLaughlin-Kenny Gray main event. What other fights really stuck out in your head Saturday night?
Well, we had the co-main between Josiah Johnson. He came out of Bartlett, Tennessee. He fights with a team called Pincer Athletics or Pincer MMA. Has a lot of good pro fighters around the Tennessee, Northeast Arkansas area. They're coaching him. I don't know if you ever heard of the Underwood brothers, Jake and Zach Underwood. They're two coaches they have. They also have a man named Andy Urich. He's a really good guy. He was actually in his corner that night. The Underwoods, they've been up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to train with Duke Rufus, and Alan Belcher, Ben Askren, all those guys. And they have a really strong fight team. Josiah, he has been on a slide. He was on a 4-fight losing streak. He came in and fought Jesse Sanderson out of the House MMA and win. And Jesse, he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. They had a nice little stand-up matchup. Josiah was winning the stand-up. They went to the ground. Rolled back and forth a bit. There were some good sweeps in there. Jesse eventually managed to get Josiah in the second round, but that was a really good back and forth fight, very emotional fight. I really liked that one. And,
We were talking about the McLaughlin Gray main event. Another fight that really stuck out in my head was the Smallwood Glenn fight. I don't know why, but for some reason that was another fight that really kind of stuck out in my head.
Yes, Smallwood, he's a big old guy to fight the light heavyweight division. You know, he came in at 208 pounds. And that guy was buff, and he is ripped up. He's been in the gym since high school, doing a lot of strength conditioning and training. And he came out, and he picked up Keith Glenn and slammed him like he was LeBron James. He threw him down on his face.
Because, you know, I'm sitting right there. You know, I'm sitting there. I was doing the ring announcing for the event, and I'm sitting there at cage side, and I mean –
You there? You get cut off? We get cut off?
All right, I hope everybody's there. I'm sorry, we kind of had a disconnected, and we lost our phone signal for some reason, so I apologize. We lost our caller. I hope he calls back in. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go over the results from the show. As I was kind of stating earlier, the fight that really stuck out in my head was that Kendon Smallwood, Keith Glenn, and I was doing the ring announcing, and Kendon came to the ring, and I was just like, wow, who is this guy? So, I'm putting a Facebook message out that we are back on the air. I don't know why that did that. That's the first time I've been doing since I've been doing the show that we've ever lost a signal. So hopefully people that are listening will call back in. I mean, that was crazy. That's the first time I've ever had that happen. So anyway, here we go. We're going to run down the results. Cody Horton and John Corder opened up the event. In the middleweight division, 1 minute, 31 seconds of the second round, Cody Horton pulled out the victory using the rear naked choke. Second fight of the evening was in the light heavyweight division, and you had Rhodes taking on Craig the Pitbull Chris, and that one was ruled a technical knockout by strikes. 123 of the second round, and that fight went to Ryan Rose. The third fight of the evening, which was the fight that once again really stuck out with me, sorry about that. We lost the phone signal, and so we had to hustle to get called back in. I sure apologize for that. I was running down the results from Saturday night. We were on the third round of the fight where we had a Kendon Smallwood, Keith Glenn. Kind of give us a quick synopsis on that fight in your opinion.
Yes. Kendon came out. Kendon's a big old guy. He came out as his debut fight for both guys. Came in with a little bit of stand-up. He got hit once, and he just clinched up, and he slammed. It looked like something out of WWE or Impact Wrestling. He picked up Keith Glenn and slammed him flat on his face, and the rest of the fight was pretty much one-sided. Just Kendon put a nice little beating on him, and it ended up in a doctor's stoppage between rounds two and three. They had to send Keith on out to the hospital. Actually, he experienced a concussion, a broken nose, and got bloodied up a little bit.
Right.
Keith's doing fine right now, though. He's doing fine so far. So,
right. Yeah, like I say, I mean, there were some serious blows laid out, and I don't know how some of those guys were still on their feet. Moving on to the fourth round of the fight, we had Braxton Champion taking on Brian Hartman, and once again, that was another fight that the ringside position stepped in and had to call that fight. They awarded the victory to Hartman. Give us your opinion on that fight.
That was a really unfortunate stoppage. It was a pretty good fight back and forth. Hartman, he had more experience than Champion. That was his first win, but like he said in the post-fight interview, it felt really hollow to him. He gashed open Braxton underneath his eye, right above the cheek, and Braxton lost a contact lens, and they couldn't put the contact back in because the cut was so close to the eye. They didn't feel comfortable letting him continue with that contact in. They went ahead and stopped it.
Right. Now, would that possibly be a situation where you might go ahead maybe on the next event, maybe match those two up again, or is that an avenue you would consider pursuing?
I haven't went back and talked it over with my partner Landon. But I've actually thought about doing an instant rematch to that. I'll have to talk to both parties and see if they still want to. I'm sure that Brian Hartman would like to get a rematch with him, and just to see how that would have ended had it not been
in
the position. I know I would like to.
Right, right. Of all the ones that, you know, that did end suddenly like that, that's definitely was one of the ones I felt had the potential to possibly be Fight of the Night. And so I think that's definitely one of the ones that I would like to possibly see matched up again so we could see how that fight turned out. Let's move on to the fifth fight of the night. We're starting to run low on time here. Matt Hatley, Hunter Middleton. That went 154 as a first round with a rear naked choke going to Hunter Middleton. What was your thoughts on that fight?
Man, I have my own thoughts about that fight. And it's going to sound very unprofessional, but I have to come out and say it. I've known Matt personally for a long time. He actually fights on Landon's fight team, Achilles MMA. And, man, he came in weigh-ins Friday night. He weighed in 9 pounds overweight. And we let it slide. Middleton, he said he would go ahead and fight. Both parties agreed to take the fight. So we let that slide, and like the old saying goes, you give the guy an inch, he takes a mile. And the next night, he was about 2 hours late for paperwork, held the show up about 15 minutes. Hatley finally comes in, gets his paperwork taken care of. He goes and he warms up, gets ready to fight. We bring him out for the fifth fight, and he refuses to touch gloves, comes out, and he's taunting Hunter Middleton, threw some select choice words out at him. He's completely dominated. He's choked out in the first round. And then there was an altercation at the door after the fight. Matt decided he wanted to fight him in the lot. And Matt, I mean, this is going to sound unprofessional, but he's a stupid idiot, and he is never fighting for us again. He is never fighting for us again. He is not on the fight anymore. He never fight for any fighting championship.
Right, and you know, and I only think that's right. I mean, anybody that holds up the show and everything. I mean, I personally don't blame you for that. We got about 90 seconds. We got about a minute left, so we're just going to run down the rest of the results real quick. You had Trevor Olsen and Josh Madden, 143 in the first round, rear naked choke. That fight went to Trevor Olsen. Seventh, Dustin Smith against Jordan Fowler. That was the only knockout of the night. Was Jordan Fowler 259 as a first? That one was very close. I mean, I know there was some serious disgruntlement about the call on that particular fight. And then you mentioned earlier the Josiah Johnson Jesse Sanderson fight. That was a 142nd of the first of the second round, and was a call due to strikes. And then of course you had Kenny Gray. Unanimous decision over Rudy McLaughlin. Well, man, I appreciate you calling in. I wish we'd had more time, but we're definitely, you know, we definitely want to have you on the show in the future, especially when we have more events and stuff coming up. Like I told people, I've everybody I talk to that's asked me about how Saturday night went, I just can't say enough. I mean, I see some great potential for this promotion, and I look forward to working with you guys in the future. And I know I got an email today asking about what dates in June I would possibly be available. So I know you're looking at possibly June, possibly even July or even May for your next event. So I'm going to let you have the closing words. If there's anything else you want to say, right now's your time.
Well, thank you, Greg. It was nice being on the show, and it was nice having you for the fight this weekend. You did a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Squirrel is an award-winning ring announcer for a reason. The guy is great. He's emotional. He loves the fights. He loves the fighters, and he loves the fans. If you have a show and you want to book an announcer, you want to book a DJ, a lighting guy, book Gregory Squirrel. The guy's a professional. He knows how to handle his business.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a Monday night on the Greg Squirrel Show. We'll be back tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about Muskogee, Oklahoma, which is coming up this next weekend. So until then, join us. Be back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, right back here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Until then, see ya. We'll be right back.